Support for Here and Now comes from BetterHelp, committed to supporting mental health through therapy. Clients are matched with one of 25,000 therapists and can communicate via video, chat, or phone at betterhelp.com/public.
As the protests and the debate over them continue here in the US, we want to take a look at the humanitarian situation in Gaza. Brenda Maldonado is a registered nurse. She left Gaza this Monday after volunteering with the NGO humanitarian group Med Global. And she joins us from Turkey. Brenda, thank you so much for speaking with us.
Thank you for the opportunity.
Brenda, you were in Gaza for 2 weeks working in the emergency room at the Al-Aqsa Hospital, which is in central Gaza, near the Nusayrat refugee camp. You also lived at the hospital. Can you describe first what it was like there? Were there bombings?
Yes, not all the time, but frequently, especially during the night, you could hear bombings. There was one night that an explosion was so loud, but we also felt it. We could feel the pressure in our ears change, and we knew it was close.
And after those bombings, what would happen at the hospital? Did people come in?
Well, frequently we could hear ambulances heading our way. And so depending on how, like if the building collapsed, maybe there weren't any survivors, but frequently we would have mass casualties that would show up at the hospital.
And then, how did it proceed? Walk us through that. The casualties show up. What was your role?
The casualties show up in, they're sometimes carried in by families, sometimes by ambulances, and the influx of people into the emergency room is just overwhelming. There's just a crush of people. So I usually would put on a pair of gloves, grab some supplies, maybe IVs, and start heading to where the patients were laying on the floor and work with other nurses and maybe stopping the bleeding, starting IVs, getting blood specimens for type and cross match, and just tend to the ones that were the most serious.
And we understand that the Al-Aqsa Hospital used to be a maternity hospital, but after Al-Shifa Hospital was destroyed, then Al-Aqsa expanded beyond just a maternity hospital. Can you describe what you would see, you know, in Al-Aqsa, you know, how do you just change a hospital to be able to treat more than maternity?
Well, it's not an easy proposition, as you can imagine, because you don't have all of the equipment that you would need. You don't have all of the supplies that you need. And so they were doing the best that they could, but we were not able to do cardiac catheterization. So if somebody came in with a heart attack, which happened a few times while I was there, it's basically a death sentence. And we were instructed to not even begin CPR because there was no point in it. So it was very heartbreaking knowing that in a normal setting in a US hospital, we could get the patient set into the cardiac cath lab to receive the treatment that they needed.
We've also heard in the news that so many babies and children are a part of the injured. Did you have the capacity to be able to treat them?
Not at all. In fact, that was the most heartbreaking thing, was that most of the children during the blast would receive head injuries. And because of head injuries, you need the ability to do craniotomies and things like that. There was no capability for that at all. The most we could do was to do a CT scan of the brain and verify that, yes, there was a traumatic brain injury. But other than that, there was nothing else that could be done.
I imagine, too, just that takes a toll on all the medical personnel. You were just there 2 weeks, but there are other doctors and nurses who were seeing this day in, day out. You sent us a photo, Brenda, of a father grieving his young son. It's so hard to look at. Can you tell us what happened?
Yes, it was just another classic case of a child that received a traumatic brain injury. And essentially, we just watched the child take his last breath, along with probably another child or two that day. And watching the father, the mothers grieving their children is just heart-wrenching. You basically don't have anything left to give. And you know, there are no words that can be said to them.
I imagine for the doctors and nurses that takes a toll.
It does, and I don't know how they do it. They're pretty incredible people because of everything that they've been through. They've been witnessing this for 7 months and in the conditions that they're living in. I honestly don't know how they do it. They're amazingly resilient people.
Tell me about the conditions that they're living in, because I imagine maybe they've been displaced too.
Yes, you're correct. In fact, at least half of the staff that I spoke with and got to know have lost their homes. Many of them were living up in North Gaza, and they worked at Al-Shifa Hospital. And their homes were completely destroyed. Their hospital was completely destroyed. And now they're living in a tent and trying to just make life in a tent, going after water, using a pit latrine, washing up, and then coming into work. And so it's pretty amazing that they show up for work and they look professional and clean.
We've heard from the Israeli military that they're going after hospitals because they're saying Hamas uses hospitals as a place, you know, as bunkers to regroup, to conduct their militant activities. Did you see any of that?
All that I saw, all that I was witness to, were civilians coming in for care. I never once saw anybody that looked like military or anyone that looked like they were fighting a war. These were all people that were just trying to survive life.
I'd love you to just end by telling us the story of when you left and about the tea that you were presented with.
On the last day that I was there, a young nurse that I was working with came into the room with a small cup of hibiscus tea, and it was ice cold. And he just presented it to me, and I felt so bad. I know that they don't have anything. I know that he lost his home and his farm, but yet the hospitality that is shown by Palestinians is second to none. And he just gave it to me. And when I accepted it, he just had the biggest smile on his face. And it just made me feel so good that it made him feel so good.
I bet that tasted good too.
It was delicious.
Brenda Maldonado is a registered nurse. She returned from Gaza earlier this week after volunteering with the NGO humanitarian group Med Global. Brenda, thank you so much.
Thank you. I really appreciate it.